Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to the podcast. Just wanted to let you know that one of the best tournaments we've run thus far is premiering on the JM Warehouse YouTube channel. One inning league roulette, quick games, lots of action. One team doesn't make the postseason, one team doesn't get drafted. Hearts get broken, heroes get made. Make sure you tune in and join us in the live chat, JM Warehouse YouTube channel. Games premiere at 6 o'clock. Thanks.
On this episode of Inside Boxing Live, we will dive into the latest saga with Gervonta Davis and Ryan Garcia. DAZN put out their spring schedule. It includes Anthony Joshua not on pay-per-view. And there's a big title fight at 130 pounds this weekend between Ray Vargas and Oshaki Foster. Let's get into it. What is up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of Inside Boxing Live. This is a product of John Boy Media. I am Dan Canova. He is the former champion, Chris Algieri. We're back talking boxing like we do twice a week for you. Chris, how is everything going down in Florida? I know you're busy with the pro box stuff. What's the latest, my friend?
Yeah, going well. Pumping out a ton of content that's going to be rolling out in the next few weeks to and months, and is going to be nonstop for the rest of this year. But yeah, all good. Talking boxing nonstop. I'm a full-time boxing pundit now. So between I started with you. You guys got me going twice a week, and now I'm literally doing it every day. So
that's good, man. You're gonna stay sharp.
It's a great thing.
You're gonna stay in the know. You're gonna stay sharp. You're gonna be camera ready. You're always camera ready. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot easier these days to be camera ready. It's a lot of it's DIY and. But still, we put out great content, so that's all that matters. Great subject matter, great talking points. We got it.
We have a lot to get to on this episode. Some headlines, of course. We always start the show with some headlines before we get into the big fight of the weekend over on Showtime, which is a vacant WBC title match between Oshaki Foster and Ray Vargas. We'll break that down. Before we get into any breakdowns, the big game. It's a Sunday, Chris. We're getting closer and closer to the big game. DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 57, has all the Super Bowl action you need. New customers can bet just $5 and win 200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get in on Super Bowl 57 excitement with DraftKings Happy Hour Super Boost. Check out DraftKings Sportsbook app every day between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern to see what prop bet will be boosted. I'm taking a look at the coin toss. I have the numbers on this, Chris. 29 times the coin toss was tails compared to 27 for heads. So I take everything into account.
Yeah, well, you degenerate gamblers generally do. So
I'm not a degenerate gambler. I am on a hot streak. I will throw some money here and there on the Super Bowl. Like, so these prop bets are fun. There's also this thing called an octopus. Could you even imagine what that is in the box in the football world?
I mean, I'm thinking eight something.
It's not. I don't know what octopus where they got that from. It's when a player scores a touchdown, and if they go for 2-point conversion, the same player scores the 2-point conversion.
So yeah, so eight, right? Isn't it?
Oh yeah, it is eight. Yeah, it is eight because you get 8 points for an extra point.
Yeah, that? 6 plus 2 is eight. I'm teaching you about this stuff now.
You're the one that was taking blows, and you have better math than me. Damn. Yeah. It's happened 6 times this year in the NFL, and twice it happened. Mahomes and Hurts were both playing in the Super Bowl. That's plus 1400 on DraftKings. So I might throw.
That sounds like a good.
It's a good risk. Makes it fun. The Super Bowl makes it a little bit fun. So if you don't want to get in on the regular bets, there's a lot of prop bets on on DraftKings. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code IBL. New customers can bet $5 on the Super Bowl 57 and get 200 in bonus bets instantly. Only at DraftKings with code IBL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. All right, let's get into it. Wouldn't be a week in the boxing world if we didn't get an update on the Tank Davis-Ryan Garcia fight, which is penciled in for April 15th. The latest is that it was in grave danger, says Chris Maddox. Mike Coppinger reported that a rematch clause is the latest snag in this fight. And when I say Mike Coppinger reported, I mean Oscar De La Hoya called up Mike Coppinger and said, guess what happened? We're haggling over the rematch clause. Now, Chris, I want to ask you this. You've been part of these negotiations, big fights. You fought Manny Pacquiao. You fought Errol Spence. You fought Amir Khan.
Also, I negotiated a lot of those myself, by the way.
So when there's a fight of this magnitude and it's clear that the first fight is going to air on Showtime, Javante Davis is the A side. It's going to be on Showtime. It's going to be a PBC production and all that jazz. There is no rematch clause for if Ryan Garcia wins. There's only a rematch clause if Tank loses. So Tank, let's just say Tank loses.
You said there's no rematch clause if Ryan wins, and there is if Tank loses. That's the same thing.
If Tank Davis loses, he can initiate a rematch clause.
Okay.
Ryan Garcia loses, there is no rematch clause. Thank you for correcting
got
me.
It.
Okay. Yeah. So the first fight's going to be on Showtime, PBC vehicle. We know that. Or that's what's been negotiated, and that's fine. The rematch clause is what they're haggling over. Oscar's side and Golden Boy's side says if Ryan Garcia wins, we should have rights to the rematch. It should be on DAZN. We should be the A side. And Showtime and PBC side saying, no, not so fast. Like, why? No, we can't do that. I don't know. I feel like that makes sense. I feel like if Ryan Garcia wins, he's now like one of the biggest stars in boxing. I know it doesn't add up maybe to the money side of things. I think Tank still would be a big seller, but that's pretty standard, I feel like, in boxing negotiations.
All right, so two things to think about here. So Ryan wins, winner stays. Ryan wins, ball goes into their court. They should have the rights to where the fight is aired.
Ryan's side, right?
Right. The winner, regardless, whether it's Ryan or, you know, so that's A. Is that winner stays, whoever wins, if there's a rematch, winner gets the rights. And so if Ryan gets the win, it's up to Golden Boy and their side to decide where the fight is going to be. Mm-hmm. Second of all, especially if Ryan wins, he's the digital content king in this situation. Remove it from network television. Remove it from Showtime. Remove it from those cable networks. Bring it to digital. It's going to make more money.
Bring it to where?
To the streaming side.
To the because zone, of, thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Which exactly. Who have invested millions of dollars in Ryan Garcia.
Correct. So there's a big upside on Ryan winning the fight and then having the rematch in their court where they can bring it over to the zone. So that is a legitimate sticking point, I would say. I would also say, that's B. C, and you know, we've been doing this for months now, talking about this fight. I am very pessimistic about this fight actually happening. I don't know if it's going to be, I don't know if this is the real holdup, because if it wasn't this, it would be something else. It would be the gloves for God knows what reason. Yeah, I just feel like they're just looking for a reason to keep pushing this fight off. Not sure why, not sure who, but I don't know. This seems like a snake bitten fight. I just have a bad feeling about everything. All the writing on the wall to me doesn't add up to a positive light for this fight finally happening. And you know, we're seeing it. I'm sitting here, you know, every time this thing gets stalled, I'm like, you know, I told you, Dan.
I knew it was going to get, wasn't going to be as smooth. Didn't think a rematch clause would be the roadblock, but I do understand. Right. Both sides of it, of course, and not to be the both sides guy, but if Ryan Garcia wins, they should definitely, they have every right to say we should take over the production. You know, not only if, even if he didn't win, even if there was like a 2-fight deal or something like that, it's like the, you know, the second fight would be on DAZN. I mean, that's happened before. And I also understand it from Gervonta Davis's side. It's like, listen, like, even if Ryan Garcia wins, Tank is still Tank when it comes to the stuff you could see, you know, like the financials, like the gates and the numbers. And, you know, he's the A side always in between these two. So I see it from that side, too. For what it's worth, Steven Espinosa went on Chicken Talk, which is a pretty cool Twitter space, and said he remains optimistic that Gervonta Davis versus Ryan Garcia will happen despite the rematch clause dispute. We sent the revised contract last week and haven't heard anything. If it's down to one issue, that's phenomenal news. This is a guy that's been part of the biggest fights, Mayweather Canelo, Mayweather McGregor. He's been a part of some of the biggest fights in boxing. He knows how to make a mega fight. I think it happens. I've heard some things behind the scenes that all systems are a go for April 15th. A lot of work is being done for this fight to be go through on April 15th. I still am optimistic. I still think it happens. This is just one last little thing that they are going to haggle over.
If this fight happens before July, I'll buy you a beer.
Before July. Wow. Man, I hope it does. I understand where you're coming from too, but and I also see like people that there are people out there that are hoping that it doesn't happen. I'm not saying that you're one of those people, but there are some that are
I'm not.
Told you so. PBC acted up again. I told you so. And like
I'd rather be wrong. I'd rather the sport flourish and me be wrong than the other way around.
I've seen so many people. Oh, look, as I'm saying this, Ryan Garcia just liked one of my tweets. I tweeted out, Tank Ryan is happening on April 15th. Everyone simmer down after I got some insider information. Ryan Garcia just liked the tweet. In real time. There you go. Boom, right there.
Boom. See that, guys? We're breaking things in real time.
Nothing the more you have to hear here. So you're going to owe me a beer.
We'll see. I mean, I'm I want to see. They got to be in the ring. They got to be in the ring before this bet ends.
Yeah, so that is what's going on with Tank and Ryan. If it does happen, you got to expect a formal announcement soon. I mean, if it does April, I mean, we're almost in mid-February, or it's early February. By next week, it's mid-February. A fight that doesn't really need a lot of promotion anyway. Doesn't need a five-city tour. This fight has been brewing for 3-4 years now. Just give us the official date and the venue, and let's get this thing rolling in the right direction, because it's going to be a very, very busy April. Speaking of that, Anthony Joshua.
It's great.
What'd you say?
I said we're having a busy year already. It's great.
Yeah, I know. Well, this is just like we said. Remember we said last week, we were like, or 2 weeks ago, we were like, oh, man, February is a little light. But, I mean, just this past weekend was one of the crazier fight weekends, and we're getting ready for another fight. It just never ends in boxing. You want to say that it's going to be slow, and then headlines come out, news comes out, crazy fights that you were not expecting. Give you something to talk about. So it never ends in boxing world.
No, but boxing's like that. Boxing will never die. My broadcast partner on Pro Box TV, Paulie Monaghi, said that today. People love to say boxing's dead. Boxing will never die. And it's endless content, which makes our jobs a lot easier, you and I, because we always have things to talk about.
But Larry Merchant also said it. Nothing can kill it and nothing can save it.
Oof. That's a
profound.
That's profound, but also tough. That's a dark. That's a dark.
I mean, he was the best at that. You know, remember they would always go to Larry at the end of the night for his like final words,
and you get that backhanded.
Yeah, it would take like several seconds for him to get into what he was trying to say, but it would always be something very profound, and that's one of his better.
And then it would leave you walking away like, ugh, damn.
Yeah. You know what I watched the other night? The real Rocky 30 for 30 on Chuck Wepner.
Yeah. Have you seen that? Awesome. I have. Yeah.
It is awesome. I mean, I don't know how I never saw it.
Chuck Wepner was awesome.
Chuck Wepner is a legend. I mean, holy crap.
Awesome.
I mean, I don't know how I've never saw that actual 30 for 30. I know his story pretty well. And I remember my dad had a picture with Chuck Wepner hanging up in his office downstairs when I was a kid. And like, Wepner's has the most scar tissue I've ever seen on eyes. Like, there, he had that fighter's face. But I was just scrolling through ESPN Plus the other night, couldn't try to watch them. Obviously, had to get a boxing fix. Awesome, really cool. What a story! I mean, selling liquor in New Jersey, gets the fight with Ali, Sylvester Stallone didn't want to admit that he just blatantly ripped off his life for $1 billion movie
Sly.
Enterprise.
Come on, Sly.
And finally, he gave in. He settled. But for the why, he's like, what do you mean? Like, you're really bottom feeding here, Sly said to him. Like, come on, bro. Like, even like the Thunder Lips one, like Rocky III is when he what, fought Andre the Giant, and Andre the Giant threw him out of the ring.
Yeah.
Awesome. So I recommend everyone go out and watch the real Rocky. A 30 for 30 that came out like 10 years ago. I'm telling you to watch now. speaking of April, we were just talking about April. Anthony Joshua, Jermaine Franklin, a fight that we talked about for a while now is official. It's going down April 1st on DAZN. DAZN regular subscription. So first time, I think, ever that Joshua's fighting on non-pay-per-view in the UK. He fought on regular DAZN at MSG against Andy Ruiz. This fight is getting like
I fought that night, by the way. Don't forget
you
that.
You did fight that
night.
I scored Tommy Coyle. Nice knockout. You had the bloody face. I remember watching that fight on my phone at my buddy's wedding in Las Vegas, and I watched your fight while getting ready for the wedding. I was like, man, this is a blood and guts war.
Yeah, it would have been fight of the night if Andy didn't pull the upset off.
Andy was going to go on and make history.
Forgotten in the annals of time because of the main event. But, yeah.
So Joshua's fighting Franklin. April 1st. Fight's getting like mixed reviews. I like the fight. Good fight.
Good fight. Good fight. We spoke about this already at length in a previous episode, so everybody can go back and watch that episode. But it's the kind of fight that... Listen, I like Franklin. I thought he did great in the white fight. I was like, I want to see this guy again. It's cool. I'm happy anytime a guy like that gets the big payday and gets to step up there and fight a guy like Anthony Joshua. I mean, he's going to get the big fight experience. We get to watch it on DAZN without having to pay extra money for the month. So that's a good thing. And I think it's a good move. You put Anthony Joshua and the comeback trail on non-pay-per-view, and people get to hopefully, essentially, probably fall in love with Joshua again. Hopefully he has, not hopefully, but he goes out there and does what he should do and what he can do. And we get excited about Anthony Joshua again. That's the script. That happens, who knows? Because Franklin is a talented guy. He throws combinations. He's tough. He's going to be in there. And I think, Dan, you've said this. This is all about whether or not Anthony Joshua stops him.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it doesn't, it leaves a question mark
outside and of him like winning 12 rounds. I mean, he's got to get a couple knockdowns.
He's got to put on a dominant world-class performance, because essentially this fight's what, leading to Dillian White,
who Franklin lost to,
right? Barely. So then we're getting the Joshua White rematch. And that's another one where you've said, if he doesn't score a knockout, then what are
yeah,
we?
Yeah, I mean, there's a script.
It's a real
like
litmus test.
There's a script, yeah, like you said. Like, it's like the NFL. They say it's scripted. But there is a script in boxing. You can do that. It's called matchmaking. They made this fight so Joshua can stand and trade. And he's going to do that in this fight. One thing, though, you said it's not on pay-per-view. They did raise the price of DAZN. It's been
ESPN as well. Everything's going
on. It's been gradually increasing. So if it's not one thing, it's the other. I feel for some boxing fans out there. I still think DAZN is a pretty good value overall. Joshua is in Texas from everything that I've read. He's officially training over with Derek James. That's something to keep an eye on. I love that move. Let's see if he can become a knockout puncher like some of Derek James's fighters, i.e., Jermell Charlo. So I like that aspect of this.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I like when Anthony Joshua fights. I like Anthony Joshua. I when he is at the top of the division, when he's fighting, and he fights often, for a heavyweight. I've always said that. I've always liked Anthony Joshua. So I always look forward to him fighting, and I do like Franklin. He's a young, tough guy, and I think he's gonna fight. I don't think he's gonna shell up. I think he's gonna let his hands go and be there to make it a fight. So let's go. I'm for it.
Yeah, exactly. When Anthony Joshua's at his best, or when he's knocking guys out, it's good for the sport. I think we look at it a little bit differently than fans, but I think for the most part, it's, boxing is a different type of sport where I think real fans root for the overall health of the sport. They want to see Joshua in there. They want to see him salvage what he's got, whatever he has left, and give us some of these big fights that we still haven't seen him in, whether it's Wilder, whether it's Fury. And I think this is the beginning of it. This is the, you know, they're talking about they're rebuilding him once again. This is like the second or third time they're rebuilding him. I give him credit for getting back in there on April 1st and versus a decent top 15-ish opponent in Jermaine Franklin. If he gets a knockout, even better. Just get a win and then keep it moving. DAZN did also announce their fights through May. Some of these we knew about. I think most of these we knew about. But February 18th, which is in coming up, I think that's next weekend, Lee Wood versus Mauricio Lara. I love this. This is an A type of fight for me. I would rate it
good
an
fight.
A. I would rate it an 8 out of 10. How about you?
I love this fight. I love this fight, and I got Lara. I think he is a rough, rough cat. And Lee Wood, before the stoppage of Conlon, before the fight of the year, before the knockout of the year, you know, he's a good fighter. But I don't know. I think Lara is the king spoiler in boxing today. I mean, that guy, he can really fight. And I think, I'm taking Lara in the fight. Also, I think it's going to be a shootout throughout because I don't think either guy knows any other way.
Yeah.
It's an awesome, awesome fight. And I'm surprised it got made, honestly. But
I love this fight. Great, it was supposed to be made in September. Whenever I obviously think of Lee Wood knocking out Conlon in the 12th round, but I'm also think of him getting hit with so many overhand rights from Mick Conlon, who is a great guy, great fighter, but not exactly known as like a power punch type of fighter. So
yeah, he laid Wood on his back right away.
Right. Yep. And it's not leaving my mind anytime soon. Mauricio Lara hits a lot harder than Conlon. He's the Bronco. He's a freak. This is an awesome fight. This is like a can't miss for any hardcore fan. That's next weekend. March 11th, Callum Smith, who is in line to fight Beterbiev, is fighting a Polish fighter by the name of Paul Stepien. This is clearly a stay busy fight. I don't know what to even rate this one. I don't think everyone – I like Callum Smith, but when he's put in the position he's in now of potentially blocking a better Beterbiev fight that who knows would even be made anyway. Don't really love this fight from that standpoint, but I do like Callum Smith, the fighter at 175.
As long as Callum Smith does what he's been doing at 175, I like it. He's been starching guys. Like his two fights at 75, he's looked like a whole new fighter. And as long as he keeps doing that and goes out there and keeps that Callum Smith KO train going, cool.
Fully and then we get the better BO fight. Here. Fully expect him to do that against Paul Stepien. Diego Pacheco is on the card, one of our favorites. He's fighting Jack Cullen, who is like a local domestic all-action fighter from the UK.
Decent guy.
Yeah, so that's a
decent
good one.
Decent UK guy, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good on-paper step up for Pacheco.
There you go. That's March 11th. I rate that like a 4 out of 10 because he's fighting.
It doesn't really matter a whole lot.
Right. April 8th, Jesse Bam Rodriguez, Christian Gonzalez. Bam Rodriguez now going for a world title back down at 112. It's a vacant, I think, WBO strap. Anytime Bam fights, I'm watching. Solid 7 out of 10. It's always fun fights with him.
We love Bam on this show. We talk about him ad nauseum. If anybody doesn't like them, then like him or like us talking about him, then you're in the wrong place.
I think Bam is one of the most beloved. I wouldn't say beloved, but he has a high approval rating among boxing fans, which is really hard to attain.
Yeah, I mean, he stylistically, he's great. He's got a great little look to him, but also like in person, he's just a great. Great kid. Like, he's great. Like, really, really, really nice kid. Nice family. All of them. All those guys are great. And a great squad right around him. Hopefully I'm working that show. And then I would, get to call another one of Bam's fights and Bam's on the card. So
yeah, that one's going down in San Antonio, which is
also happy to see him. Yeah, San Antonio, great city. Hopefully also happy to see him fighting for a world title in a weight class that he really truly belongs in.
Yeah, 112. So that this could start a whole new journey for him or back down to where he might be for the next couple of years. That's April 8th. April 22nd, decent fight here. Shaz Rakhimov versus Joe Cardona.
Good fight.
Cardona knocked out Ogawa last year. I thought that was one of the KOs of the year. Broke his hand, not in the fight, but in camp. And then the IBF doesn't play any games. Stripped Cardona. Rakhimov won Cardona's belt by beating Zelfa Barrett. So now Cardona is fighting for his belt that he never lost.
Never lost.
IBF is crazy, man. You dealt with them. They're pretty strict. They don't really have a spokesperson. They don't have Suleiman out there. They don't have that guy Gilberto Mendoza walking around. They're just like, hey, we're the IBF. We have our rules and we stick to them.
Yeah, they got an office about as big as the hotel room that I'm in right now. And then no one knows. It's very, very strange.
New
outfit.
Jersey, right?
Yeah, Jersey. And this is a good fight. It's an important fight for the 130 pounders. And we're going to talk a little bit more about them, you know, later in the show. But, you know, these are guys that are hovering around in the top 10. And the winner of this fight is going to shoot into the top five. You know, and be in the mix big time for that weight class. So I think this is an important fight. It's not an easy pick either. I think this is an important fight. I think in terms of the world stage and rankings, this fight is probably more important than any of the other ones on the list.
Rakhimov is game. Cordina, yes, I think, is really good. I think he's a really high ceiling. Love that one punch knockout of Ogawa, came out of nowhere.
But other than that,
he's not really known as a knockout puncher.
No, he's not known as a knockout puncher. And, you know, listen, that's a great way to get eyes on you. But prior to that, I didn't see he's very definitely talented. And he's definitely, like you said, there's a high potential. But I think he has a lot more developing to do. And this is a very, very tough fight. So he comes out on top in this fight, and especially if he does it in spectacular fashion. Wow. You know, that's going to put everyone in the boxing world on notice, especially in the 130 pounders. But it's a big ask for him at this stage of his career, I believe.
May 20th is a fight we all know about. Just got announced this past weekend in the ring. Katie Taylor, Amanda Serrano 2, which we spoke about at length on last show. So that's the April to spring. It's a spring schedule for DAZN and Matchroom. Decent. Not anything spectacular. These are all solid fights, but you're getting it. None of them on pay-per-view. You're getting it for your subscription. You're going to see Anthony Joshua, Lee Wood, I think, will be a good one. You get to see Jesse Rodriguez. You get to see Katie Taylor, Manny Serrano, too, and then sprinkle in some other secondary type of fights on there. So, all in all, pretty good rollout from Matchroom and DAZN. You see this, Chris, March 18th. This is on DAZN, but this is a Golden Boy fight. Zerto Ramirez, coming off of his loss to Bivol, is fighting Gabe Rosado, who, to my knowledge, I've never fought at 175. This is a fight where no one, I wouldn't say anyone really asked for it. Literally came out of nowhere. I don't know what to make of it. I have no real, I'm someone, I feel like I have an opinion on every fight or anything boxing. I'm like what? What does this fight mean?
Nothing. it's a weird fight. It's Zerto was completely exposed in the Bivol fight. For him to fight a much, much smaller guy coming up, somebody's never fought there. He's also pretty shop worn. No offense, Gabe, but you know,
I think he knows that.
a long career, and you know, he knows where, yeah, exactly. He knows where he's at in terms of his career. And he wasn't a 68 pounder to go up to 75 is, I don't know, but you know, it's a comeback fight for Zerto, I'm assuming. And it's Gabe's a litmus test for him at this point to see how much is left of, you know, what can be salvaged from Zerto, because a loss here to Gabe Rosado at 175, you might as well pack it in. Like, you're not going to get a big fight anymore.
That'd be embarrassing.
And a win is just, it's basically just a win, because no one, it's not going down on your record as, you know, you're fighting Gabe four weight classes above where he was, like, really close to his title at 54. So, yeah,
the only thing you said, the only thing I can make of this is Zerto Ramirez is back in the ring. 4 months since the Bivol loss. Not waiting 8 months, not waiting 10 months like some fighters do, not waiting a full year. Probably got paid very handsomely for that Bivol fight, over, especially since it was over in the Middle East. A lot of guys kind of, you know, pack, I wouldn't say pack it in, but they, you don't see them for a while. So there's that.
Yeah.
there's that. He's fighting 4 months after that. There is a somewhat of a following for Gabe Rosado. He has a name, but I mean, this is a guy like, I think 160 is his best weight, 168, really pushing it, going up to 175. Whatever. That's March 18th. I don't really want to talk about this topic, but it's just so made me feel a certain type of way. Roy Jones Jr. to box Anthony Pettis in a 8-round, not exhibition,
right?
Which I thought about when I saw the headline, when I saw the fight poster. I said, oh, all right, exhibition, MMA versus boxer. No, this is a pro fight. 54-year-old Roy Jones is fighting 36-year-old Anthony Pettis. What is going on?
I don't like it for a number of reasons. Number one, what you just said, age. 36. You're 3 years younger than me. Like, what do you, like, you're still viable, like, in MMA and whatever. You still have a viable guy. You can win a title. And Roy is 54 and coming off the couch. You know, he fought an exhibition a year and a half ago against another retired fighter who hasn't fought in 20 plus years. I don't know. And
it was more, that was like, listen, 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. So,
3 years ago. I don't even know. The time is, who knows what year it is.
Yeah, time's
anymore.
Flying. Time's flying, man. Yeah, listen. Roy is a grown man. He can do whatever he wants with his health and his life and fighting. And I'm never the kind of guy that I'm never forcing anybody to retire. It's mm-hmm. up to you. This is your life. Anderson Silva was the same way. People were like, he needs to retire. I'm like, no, he doesn't. He can do whatever he wants. He can fight for as long as he wants. As long as he can pass the health test, it's up to him. He's got to deal with that later. But with Roy, my issue is, and I was thinking about this earlier when we were talking, we're getting further removed from a young fan base who remembers these great fights. Like, you brought up the Chuck Wepner thing. Like, yeah, go watch that 30 for 30. If you don't know that story, if you don't know, and why would you nowadays? Because no one's ever bringing that stuff up except for us. That's why you guys tune in here. But with a guy like Roy Jones Jr., he's the best fighter, hands down, head and shoulders above everyone else that I've ever seen fight while I've been alive. By far, the best fighter I've ever seen. I don't want these next young generation to see Roy now and think that's what Roy Jones is or was. Because watching a highlight tape from the 90s, this isn't the same as watching the guy live now. So I don't love it when a guy like that comes in and does a fight. That being said, on the opposite side of the coin, when he fought Mike Tyson, I love that.
Yes.
This was an exhibition. Exactly. They boxed. It was nostalgic. It was cool. It was fun. This is not fun. This is a fight. It's different.
Yeah, this is not good. This is not good for a number of reasons, like you said. Well said, though, by the way, because there are a lot of fighters out there, or a lot of fans out there, that the new generation that don't know much about the past generation. And you've got a guy in there who is a legend, who is getting back into the ring. And man, it's like, yes, I thought the exhibition with Tyson was like the perfect goodbye for Roy, because I love the fact, obviously, it was all about Tyson, but I also love that it was like a chance for people to, oh shoot, Roy Jones, he was amazing, like, and look up his highlights, and so it was perfect right then and there. But boxing's not perfect. These guys don't know when to walk away. Can't believe it's being sanctioned. I said it was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Yeah. I mean, I've never heard of a big fight ever in Wisconsin. That commission probably was like, yeah, sure, we'll do it here. That sucks. There's nothing. Hopefully he doesn't go through with it. But like you said, he can do whatever he wants. I don't think he knows a life without fighting, right? Yeah, doesn't know a life without, doesn't know, all he knows is fighting and boxing.
Dan, none of us do. When I'm talking about fighters, none of us do. We don't want to leave. I'm talking to Paulie today about it. He's like, I won't shadow box because I'm gonna end up fighting. Like, that's the way we are. We can't help it. I actually might go to the fight because Vitor Belfort, my gym mate, is fighting as well. He's fighting Jacare, the Brazilian.
All right. Yeah. I mean, it's gonna be a spectacle. It's a lot of MMA fight, MMA guys boxing. It's not like MMA versus boxing, besides that Jones fight.
No, MMA guys,
MMA boxing, guys, yeah. Boxing, which is a whole different subgenre of what we've been seeing. Of,
it makes sense for the older guys. They can't deal with the ground stuff anymore because it's so bad on the knees and the joints and all that. So, and the kicks and knees. So they think they can go to boxing. It's going to be better for their health. It's worse for their brain. But
yes, Moving on, let's get into our fight preview mode this weekend over on Showtime. Triple header. You're going to see a heavyweight fight lead it off. I think it's Victor Faust, who fought in one of the better fights of 2022 on New Year's Day against Kaladze. You're going to see Mario Barrios versus Giovanni Santiago. Santiago, I thought, beat Broner a few years back. Barrios,
yeah,
obviously.
Got smoked by what's his name? One of the brothers.
Santiago?
Yeah. His next fight he got. Oh, my. I'm drawing a blank. All the fighting brothers that coach, too.
Russell.
Russell's. Yeah.
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 He lost to probably Antoine Russell. I got to look that up.
I believe it was Antoine, yes.
And Barrios obviously has the losses to Keith Thurman and to Tank Davis. So that's the co-main event. Main event's a good one. Ray Vargas, who is the reigning featherweight champion at WBC, going in for his third title in three different weight classes because of a WBC stipulation where you can hop up to the next weight class and vie for a title, a vacant title. Oshaki Foster has a completely different story than Ray Vargas. He had a claw to get to this spot, back-to-back losses in 2015, 2016. Ray Vargas is, I'm going to say had it made, but like this is a guy that had a way different
trajectory,
yes, to get to where they're at right now. I like this fight. This should be a good one. It's like a technical fight. Vargas obviously has a lot of power, but he's hit the deck a lot his last couple fights. Foster has a ridiculous reach. I think he's a 72-inch reach for a 130-pounder. He's really
he's like
tough 5'8", to
fight. 72. Yeah, he's
no one
four.
Wants to fight this guy, Foster, but now I feel like he kind of did something in boxing we see a lot. It's like he exhausted every option where now they have to fight him for a title. So I think it's a good fight.
I think it's a great fight, and I'm backing Foster. I think that I'm taking Foster in this fight. I think that third weight class for Ray Vargas, the power that he showed, you mentioned his power. We haven't seen that at 26. We're not going to see it at 30. And Foster not only is obviously the bigger man, he's more comfortable with the weight class, but he's a shifty, difficult guy, switching sides. He's good. He's really good. And he's learned on the job. So I like Foster in this fight. I'm curious to see what the line would be, but I like his path. Like we said, he's had to claw and scratch his way. And I got a soft spot for guys like that. So I don't know. And also I like his style. I like the way that he fights. I think that he can give Ray Vargas a lot of trouble. And
the lines
are
shifting here.
They're going to shift even more when they listen to our show.
Yeah, I like that. I like that play. There's value in that play. It's shrinking too, so it shows that there's money coming in on Foster.
After people listen to this, forget it. It's really going to
especially shift. Yeah. Let's see how the hot streak I'm on. Oshaki Foster by decision, +300.
That's a great.
That's match. Interesting because he's not going to knock him. I don't think he's going to knock him out. Like Foster doesn't have a ton of power. I'm not going to put some money on that one. That's like I don't have a parlay this week.
I'm going to Venmo you. Put some money on for me.
Let's get it. Let's go into. You could be my bankroll. You could bankroll me. How about that?
That's true.
You want to get into get the business
I don't have
together.
For the record, I don't have any betting on, and no, I have no bookies. I don't bet on fight. I don't bet on anything.
You don't need bookies anymore. We got DraftKings, baby.
Right, so that's my point. I don't have an app. I don't have anything. I'm not logged in. I don't have a login. None of that. I don't bet.
Logged in.
So I might have to shoot you money so you can bet. I'll bankroll you.
So they got Foster +135 on the money line. That's just to win, but +300 on by decision. Like he's not gonna knock. I don't think he's gonna knock him out. Even though Vargas has gone down recently, he's shown.
Maybe they're thinking that if it goes to decision, he's probably gonna get robbed.
Well, that's another thing. That's what kind of prevents a lot of people from gambling on boxing. But that's why I stick with over-unders a lot because you can't the judges can't get involved in those.
Prop bets are fun too.
I think Foster's going to win. I really do.
I do too.
I think Oshaki Foster's going to win this fight. Good fighter. Really good jab. Like we said, unconventional come up. He was a turn pro in 2012. Reeled off 8 straight wins. Then he went 2-2 from 2015 to 2016, sat out all of COVID, had a contract dispute with a former promoter that got ugly. Then
do you see why I like this kid?
Sounds like it sounds like Chris Algieri. But you didn't go 2-2. You were undefeated, right? When you went to the Provodnikov fight. But you know, still, like you were assigned to a smaller promoter. I'm sure you had your doubters. Same thing with Foster. Like, plus no one wanted to fight Foster too, because of like things we just explained, like 72-inch reach, unconventional.
Unconventional style,
very little to gain too, like the risk reward factor of boxing.
He's talented.
And then Ray Vargas, on the other hand, I don't understand how Vargas goes from being the champ at featherweight right now to all of a sudden just getting a title. I understand it's like a stipulation by the WBC, but I feel like a lot of fighters, they claw to get a title shot. They're Boots Ennis, like all these guys, and you see someone like Ray Vargas, like, oh, I'm just gonna waltz into this fight and fight for a vacant title in a weight class I've never been in while being a champion at 126. Boxing, it's so hard to explain the sport sometimes.
It's a stupid stipulation. Amanda Serrano used that to her advantage all over the place. She jumped from weight class to weight class based on that, which is very smart on their side. But yeah, it's a very stupid rule, and. There's better opposition. There's better guys than a guy who's literally never fought at this weight class. I wouldn't even rank Ray Vargas at 130 at this point because I don't know who he's going to be.
I
don't have him ranked. I did my ranking. I don't have him ranked in there because I have no idea what he's going to look like. You know, weight classes matter. We have them for a reason. Guys are not the same in every weight class. So I don't know. I don't like that rule.
Let's get into our 130 pound picture here because it is a. It's a weight class that was once dominated by Shakur Stevenson, and he abruptly left. We knew that he was going to leave, but we didn't know it was going to be this soon because of the weight, you know, making the weight in his last fight or last year and giving up the belt. So that kind of cleared out the whole division and left a little bit of a shadow in the division, because I think that Shakur Stevenson was so much better than any other fighter in this division, and that's not a knock on any of these guys. But now it's wide open, and there are belts to be had, and there are pretty good fighters in this weight class. So I will start with my top five at 130 pounds. Number five, Rakhimov, solid guy. He's been in the division for a while, has some wins, and we'll see on. April 22nd, when he fights Joe Cordina, where he'll be on that list. At number four, I have Joe Cordina. He's fighting Rakhimov. We talked about him just before. Has that one-punch power out of nowhere, but more of a technical fighter. High ceiling, we'll see. The jury's still out on Joe Cordina. Number three, Hector Garcia. Just fought Gervonta Davis. Had two of the bigger wins last year. Good pop. Solid fighter. He'll bounce back from that fight, despite some people saying that he quit. He's still a champ at 130, and I still think he's got a lot of power in those.
I think he's going to be better, actually, going back down to weight and having that big fight experience. But that's
of course, definitely. Yep. Yeah, he was hanging in there with Gervonta Davis. Huge, doesn't get any bigger than a Gervonta Davis fight in boxing, one of the bigger stars in the sport, and he definitely will learn from that. And I think people are forgetting that he is a champ, so he still has his belt, and he'll get back in there this year, I'm sure. All right, this is where it gets a little 2-1 here. I could flip-flop him, but I'm going to go Navarrete 2. The jury is still out on this guy somehow. You want to pick against him every time he gets in the ring, but he'll show you something spectacular. This past weekend, he's, 30-second count. His defense is lackluster. He can't make weight, all the above. But still finds a way to win and knocks out a guy in spectacular fashion. Love that. So I got him number two. Number one, Valdez. I think he's so technically sound. I think he has a really good resume. Solid fighter. I have no problem putting him number one. But it's a wide open division. Let's get yours.
I'm gonna go the opposite. I'm gonna go from one down to five. So right. I have the same first three as you. Valdez number one, Navarrete number two, Hector Garcia number three. So Navarrete I put so high because, hey, listen, he fought in the weight class. I can't rank Ray Vargas. He has not fought at 130. I have no idea what he's gonna look like. I've seen Navarrete at 130. Obviously his power still holds. Cool. Navarrete number two. Like you said, Valdez, Shakur leaves, it creates a vacuum. And even though he smoked Valdez, Now, this is still the best guy in the division by probably, you know, by a lot. And that fight with Navarrete is an awesome fight. I think Valdez wins that fight, but that's regardless. So I got number one, number two, Hector Garcia. Already spoke about him. Number four, I have Ramakov. I think he is very, very tough. I think he is he's good and he's not really well known. And I think the fight with Joe Cordina is going to tell a lot for both of them. I think if Ramakov wins the fight, he solidifies himself exactly where he is at fourth. If Joe wins, they're going to swap out and they're going to, you know, it's going to put Joe in that position. Unless Joe like has another awesome highlight knockout, I'm probably not going to move him past four either. Cause it's, I think getting past Garcia and Navarrete and Valdez is a tall task. And I'm going to say, I got Oshaki Foster at number five. So I really like his style. I think he's going to be really difficult for any of these guys. And I think he's going to really solidify himself when he beats Ray Vargas. And my, you know, I always like my honorable mention. I got Joe Cordina right outside at number six. I think Joe's really good. It's very similar to yours.
I mean, the top, I put it out on Twitter today and everyone pretty much had the same five. They're very close together. I think the five at the top are pretty consensus.
Foster was my hot take, but I think after this weekend, it's not going to be.
Foster can find himself in the top five. Robson Cansaso is another name. Obviously he lost.
Super
to
talented.
Steven Sandy. You know, he hung in there. Super tough.
He lost to Valdez as well. He lost to Valdez. He lost to Stevenson.
Right, and there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with losing to the best. Nothing wrong with losing.
And a lot of people thought he beat Valdez, by the way.
That's true. I think Canseco's right hovering on that list. You got guys like Roger Gutierrez, Ogawa, who for a while...
Man, I was a big fan of Ogawa.
I know.
And then the Cordina knockout was like, oh man, it really wipes him out of your memory.
And unfortunately, he's a good fighter. Right, Lamont Roach, some other guys at 130. It's an interesting division. It's not a division that really gets a lot of pub. It's not a division that's like historically, it's like in between featherweight and lightweight. It's like 168.
Yeah, it's one of those tweeners. It's one of those tweeners. But it's also in recent time is really changed dramatically. Because, you know, we talked about Shakur Stevenson moving on, which created that void. You had a guy like Chris Colbert who was raging through, and Hector Garcia beats him, drops him, wins a lopsided decision. Colbert is out of the talks now, but he was a very good fighter. Then you had he's fighting Mickey Bay. Tevin Farmer was a longtime champion, beat a lot of top guys in the way. He was another guy. He was a 130-pound staple. Jojo Diaz was a top three guy. All these guys have now left the division. It's created a whirlpool worth of, you know, for the division. So it's a great topic that you brought up for us to talk about, because the division has changed quite a bit.
It's a division I wouldn't say like a stepping stone, but it's like a division that guys don't stay too long at. It's like they're on their way to lightweight or moving on.
The way 140 used to be. 140 used to be like that. De La Hoya didn't spend much time there. You know, Shane Mosley jumped completely over it. Shane Mosley went from 35 to De La Hoya 47. You know, it's one of those divisions that people use, like you said, stepping stone.
It's a division that, but in today's world in boxing, you can, you know, if you're a guy that is perfect for the weight, and there's opportunities and there's ways to make money with these belts, unfortunately. And I mean, there's so many of them, but you know, there's a reason why these fighters are chasing after the belts, is because, you know, you get the belt and then the bigger fights get made. Got to pay those sanctioning fees. But that's the top five. We'll see if these guys fighting this weekend, Oshaki Foster or Ray Vargas. I think the Inside Boxing Live official pick is Oshaki Foster by decision, +320.
Go out there, kid, do it, do it.
I'm banking it right now. I'm gonna do that, and I'm gonna take the Chiefs money line, for the Super Bowl. You have a Super Bowl pick before we say goodbye?
Yeah, we talked about it the other day. I'm gonna go whatever you're not gonna go. So I'm going to go birds.
Are you gonna pick an octopus?
I'm gonna pick an octopus for the birds.
Yeah, but an octopus for the birds and Oshaki Foster decision. That is quite the parlay.
I don't suggest doing that parlay.
That is the weirdest parlay ever laid down in the history of DraftKings. All right, folks. Great show. Hope you enjoy the fights this weekend. Oh, also, Adam Azim is fighting this weekend on Fight TV.
Oh, yeah.
People are saying he is the truth. Have you known anything about him?
I just recently I watched some of his highlight reel knockouts against some pretty decent guys, but you know, he doesn't have a lot of fights, but he's huge for the weight class.
He looked,
huge.
I thought it was a 154 pound. I didn't know he was a 140.
I know, 40 pound. I think 47, 54. He's really big for the weight class. I saw him on the scale. He looked healthy too. I'm like, all right, this guy, it's good to be young, man. When you're young, you can cut a lot of weight.
They say that he's the, you know, the next, they're billing him as the next big thing in UK boxing, because there really isn't like much on the scene in the UK in terms of prospects. There's a lot of guys like Khan versus Kell Brook was such a big fight because there were two of the biggest names, and there was like not much after that. Dan Dubois,
and it was so late in their faltered careers, a little anyway.
Bit. Yeah, exactly. So Adam Azim is fighting on Fight TV. He just got picked up here in the US. There was in danger of not being shown here. He's someone to keep an eye on at 140. That's
yeah,
it.
I want to watch him because I saw Khan actually talking about him, and it was interesting. I mean, Khan was a legitimate superstar over there. I mean, everywhere. He was a global star. People like to hate on Amir Khan, but he was an absolute star. So
also, Chris, I am participating in the second annual John Boy Media Football Combine this weekend. 40-yard dash, receiver gauntlet, passing. Do you have any tips for me so I don't tear any muscles off my bones?
I was gonna say warm up, but I'm taking side bets on over under if you blow out your hamstring.
What will be my 40 time? Over 5.9 or under?
Oh, that's so bad. 5.9.
That's horrible.
It's horrible.
But I'm really trying not to get hurt.
Because yeah, I was gonna say if you go under that, you're gonna get hurt. So it's tough to be over 35, bro.
35 on the dot. Okay.
Yeah, you're over it.
Everyone calls me old at the office, so
you are the old man. You're the father of the office. I'm the grandfather. I'm 4 years older than you.
Yeah,
so I'll be 39 in 3 weeks.
Wow, we're getting old, folks. We are getting old.
Speak yourself, bro. I feel great
because you're busy. We're all busy, but yeah, hopefully I keep all my muscles intact and I don't tear anything this weekend at JM Cox and Combine. We'll be back next week with another episode. Of course, as always, protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up. Stay out of those DMs. We out.